The Dallas Cowboys signed 3 free agents on Tuesday. Let's break them all down.
You are Locked On Cowboys, your daily Dallas Cowboys podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Locked On Cowboys.
Welcome back to the Locked On Cowboys podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. We'd like to thank you for making us your first listen of the day. Today's episode is brought to you by the Ultimate Football GM app. If you've ever dreamed of becoming an NFL GM and managing your own football franchise, then this game is definitely for you. To download the game, just visit ultimate-gm.com or look it up in the app stores. Our listeners get a 100% free boost to their franchise when using promo code LOCKEDON, all in caps, in the game. I am Marcus Mosher. You can follow me on Twitter at Marcus_Mosher. He is Landon McCool. Check him out on Twitter at McCoolBCB. Landon, the Cowboys busy on Tuesday signing 3 free agents. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing well. It's it's honestly kind of a shock to be this active in our podcasting and not having to, kind of come up with topics during the first few weeks of free agency.
Nice.
As the Cowboys sit on the sideline. It is nice. They actually signed their first free agent, outside free agent, signed a couple of their own, and I'm excited to kind of chat about what that means for the future and for the draft and for moving forward.
All right, let's start with the one player they did retain, and that's Dante Fowler. Some rumblings early on in free agency that the Cowboys did want him back. We haven't seen the numbers yet, but not all that surprising. I am a little surprised, though, that Dante Fowler wanted to be back after he saw his snaps kind of go down as the season went on. Why do you think the Cowboys decided to bring him back?
Well, I mean, I think it's clear why the Cowboys decided to bring him back. I mean, he was an invaluable down roster pass rusher. I mean, yes. I think being able to win at that sort of high rate without eating up a bunch of snaps was a very valuable piece for the Cowboys that allowed them to kind of safely rotate Parsons out when needed and not necessarily have one of their top two guys on the field as pass rushers. But still be able to maintain a healthy pass rush, right? And beyond that, too, when he was on the field at the same time as guys like Parsons or DeMarcus Lawrence, he got lots more opportunities to see more one-on-ones. And I think the key thing to remember with Dante Fowler in general with his game, and I think it's pretty safe to say at this point, right, is that the difference in the player and his level of production when he's facing single teams versus being doubled or chipped is pretty massive. And I think you could follow that all throughout his career, whether it's from Atlanta or to the Rams. When he gets the opportunity to get one-on-one with an offensive tackle, he wins a lot. And the Cowboys were able to provide him a lot of those opportunities. And because of that, he was able to, like I mentioned, produce a high pass rate win percentage while only posting, somewhere in the area of 20 to 30 snaps a game, depending on how things were going.
And I have those numbers right here, courtesy of Pro Football Focus. He graded in the 78th percentile of all edge rushers on passing plays or on true pass sets. So basically, when a team is taking a 5-7 step drop and the ball has to come out, he was awesome. Now, he's not a run defender. Let's just be clear. Like, that's not one of his skills, but it's incredible to have this type of depth as your fourth or fifth edge guy, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, just having the kind of waves of pass rushers that the Cowboys like to deploy, and not only just like waves, so you got like multiple guys at each spot, but they all kind of bring a different level of or a different type of versatility.
Sure.
Right. They can all kind of move around a little bit. Fowler, we've even seen kind of reduced down at times as a three technique, just like they did with Armstrong at different points.
Yeah.
But beyond that, they'll move him around. And he's so athletic that he's good on blitzes and twists and stunts and that sort of thing. So, he has a very kind of particular skill set But the Cowboys are a really good fit for kind of putting him in a position to avail himself of that skill set, if that makes sense.
I think this move says everything about DeMarcus Lawrence and Micah Parsons. They just want to make sure those guys aren't overworked during the season. Yep. And as we saw last year, Parsons got worn down as the year went on, and DeMarcus Lawrence has had trouble staying healthy. So having a guy like Dorrance Armstrong, like Dante Fowler and Dorrance Armstrong, where you can play them, 400 snaps a season?
Yeah.
Maybe 500 snaps. And just when you take Parsons off the field and you take DeMarcus Lawrence off the field, there's not a significant drop in your pass rush. And that's what adding or keeping a guy like Fowler can help you do.
And I think that the other name that we haven't mentioned here that this is has an impact on is Sam Williams, because I think what this does is that this takes the immediate pressure off of Sam Williams to have to be, you know, produce at a step or two above where he was previous last year. And not that he can't or he won't do that, but now it's not like a requirement in order to get like the pass rush that you were expecting to get.
Doesn't it feel like, so Fowler signed a 1-year deal. Dorrance Armstrong is going into the second year of a 2-year deal that he signed last offseason. Yeah. It feels like they're trying to prep Sam Williams to take over that third defensive end spot from Dorrance Armstrong, but they don't necessarily, as you mentioned, want to rely on him yet.
Yeah, it gives them a whole bunch of options. And again, no matter what, you're going to need numbers. You know, like numbers are going to be a part of this. So they have a good solid number of defensive ends, and especially considering how much they rotate them in and out. But I do think that as far as like roles, they're not trying to rush Sam Williams into what is a pretty important role.
They don't want to give him 47 snaps a game in year two, right? They'd like him to have a consistent 22 to 27 snaps, and maybe as the season goes on, he earns more. We've got one more question about this edge group, which is ridiculously stacked. We saw Dan Quinn and Will McClay at Iowa's Pro Day. I believe that was on Monday. The following day, they were working out Will McDonald at Iowa State's Pro Day, one of the top edge rushers in this class. Does re-signing Dante Fowler take them out of the running of selecting an edge rusher high in this year's draft?
Yeah, I honestly just think that Dan Quinn wanted to go to the Iowa State Fair. I heard they have really nice corn dogs.
I remember they went last year. Kellen Moore went last year to Iowa State. I think they might just like that little trip of Iowa State.
Iowa, yeah. They just have some friends up there. It's interesting. You know, cornerback and edge rusher are two positions where it feels like you almost can't have enough depth. If the Cowboys were to go out and draft a defensive end, it certainly would feel like one more than they have room for at the end, right? So I guess the question then becomes, if they draft a defensive end they like a lot, is the plan to potentially trade a Dorrance Armstrong
and they're not going to trade Fowler because he signed a 1-year deal probably worth $3 million, right?
Yeah, I mean, but I could easily see a team willing to give up a pick for Dorrance Armstrong, just, you know, that's lacking pass rush, that's looking for somebody that's young, that has, you know, he's not a 10 sack guy, but he is a versatile player who can get you 6, 7, 8 sacks, you know, in a season. So that there's
value. Possible.
There.
It's possible. If they're completely healthy by like week 6 or 7 and some other team is willing to give you, let's say, a third round pick for Dorrance Armstrong, I could see that. But I don't see this team moving an edge.
I'll put it this way. You know, I go through the mock drafts at this point, right? And I'm already having problems, you know, finding spots where you feel like you like have to put guys in, or like this team is very well stacked right now. So what I guess that means to me is that you should draft cleanly. Like, don't feel like you've got too many of this player. Go get the best player, and then we'll figure out what to do with the excess at whatever position.
All right, let's talk about some of the outside signings that the Cowboys made on Tuesday when we get back. This episode is brought to you by FanDuel. This tournament is heating up, and now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That is bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Then you can bet on anything and everything from the money line to point scores to three-pointers drained. Plus, FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same-game parlay. So don't miss the chance to get your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn. That is FanDuel.com/LockedOn to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sports betting partner of the NBA. All right, Landon, the second outside free agent that the Cowboys signed, we'll get to the first in a second, was Ronald Jones, a two-time Super Bowl champion running back.
That's weird.
From the Kansas City Chiefs. That's the nicest way I could say his career.
Yeah.
What'd you think of the move?
You know,
that's exactly
it's
how I thought.
It's like they're going to draft a running back, I feel like. And he that running back will be the other running back that likely will get paired with Pollard. You know, they also signed Rico Gathers, who I actually think
not
might
Rico
have a...
Gathers. Rico.
Oh wow. Golly. Yeah. Well, that'd be amazing if they signed Rico
Dowdle.
Rico Dowdle, of course.
Big difference there.
Who? Yeah. Literally a very big difference. He's, you know, obviously for those who remembered his last name, which I didn't, he was, you know, I loved him and I loved him a lot. Even when Malik Davis was showing out as well. The problem with Rico is he couldn't stay healthy. I think what they've done is they've signed Rico. I'm pretty sure they still have Malik for one more year. Right.
Yeah, it's 2 more years, to be honest.
2 more years. And then they got Ron. And I think what they'll do is they'll go into the draft with this, see what falls to them. And if a player at the position they like, if the running back that they like falls to them, they'll draft him. And if not, you know, I think you can go into training camp with this group of running backs and then try to maybe upgrade from there. Right. But I think at the very least, this provides a more kind of veteran running back backup to pair with the kind of two guys who, you know, I mean, obviously Dowdle is a veteran technically at this point as well, but he hasn't had a lot of snaps at running back.
Yep.
Same for Davis may have more snaps at running back than Dowdle does, honestly, at this point.
Yep.
But neither of them are very experienced. So at least you've got another guy who has experience toting the rock at the NFL level. And he probably didn't cost you very much. He's a cheap deal. So if you want to get rid of him, you know, during training camp, cause you draft a guy or whatever, I don't think it's going to be a huge loss. I would imagine this is the, James Washington of the running back room, except maybe with even less, plans moving forward.
Yeah. This really feels like, hey, our starting running back isn't going to be at minicamp or no TAs.
Yeah.
We need a guy that is a veteran that we can at least plug in there and have him be the first guy up in drills. I had no problem at all with the Cowboys signing a veteran running back. I just wanted them to sign a better one. I thought there were other names out there like Devin Singletary or Damian Harris, who went for, I think, $1.7 million. Like guys that actually make – yeah, guys that actually could fit with Tony Pollard. But what this tells me is Dallas is 100% drafting a running back in the first 100%. Four rounds. And this is just a way to make
facilitate practice, basically.
Basically, yeah, and make sure that, hey, if something happens in the draft where, listen, all the running backs go in the first round, which I'm just joking here, but like the draft doesn't fall your way, at least you have somebody who has NFL experience, who's played on two different teams that can help you out.
Yeah, because what you don't want to do is get to the third round. There's been some sort of huge run on running back suddenly, and you've got like a fifth round grade running back on, and you're like, I gotta get a starter. Have to get a running back. So
we have to have a guy that I can at least play in the preseason until Pollard's 100% healthy, right?
So I think this, you know, precludes you from falling into that trap essentially.
Yeah. And listen, maybe we're wrong on Ronald Jones. He's, believe it or not, he's only 25 years old. I know.
He's been in the league for 13 years. That's impossible.
And he's had moments where he's looked really good, I believe.
Yeah.
It was the 2020 season, he averaged 5.1 yards per carry, over 1,000 total yards. Maybe being back in the Texas area where he's from helps out.
McKinney.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I think
he's gets what's blocked for you. You know, like I said, he's your average running back. There's 20 of them on the street. I imagine that they signed him as opposed to Singletary or some of those other guys is because when you sign a Singletary or a Damian Harris, like that's your starter. You know,
I almost will guarantee you that one of the reasons why like a Damian Harris didn't sign with the Cowboys.
Yeah, exactly.
Is because the Texans or the Bills, for example, who signed Harris, probably said, hey, we can give you 11 touches a game, a lot of short yardage work, where Ronald Jones is, hey, come in and compete for a roster spot.
Yeah.
Like there's just nothing guaranteed here.
Yeah, and that's the other side of it, right? The player side is the agents know what the depth charts are, and they can look at this and say, hey, you're not beating Pollard out, so you're at best your situation is going to be running back two.
You're competing with probably a third round pick.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and I think Ronald's agent knows that we're likely drafting a running back as well.
Okay, so let's talk about the other free agent the Cowboys signed, a guy that Dallas actually targeted last August. Next, this episode is brought to you by the Ultimate Football GM app. You've heard us talk about this mobile game before, and if you ever thought that you would become a good GM or you would make a good GM, you've got to give this game a try. It's not as easy as you think to create a dynasty. When you play Ultimate Football GM, you get to control and manage every strategic aspect of your team as you play through seasons and try to lead your team to glory as you look to build an historic dynasty. With Ultimate Football GM, you're going to be responsible for controlling the destiny of your franchise by hiring the right coaches and coordinators, managing all the finances, and negotiating players' salaries and terms. Plus, you've got to do free agency, the draft. There's going to be injuries that pop up, player personnel issues, all the ups and downs of the season, all in a challenging but realistic game world. Ultimate Football GM is completely free and playable offline, so you can play as on the go, as you want to and when you want to. Locked On Cowboy listeners get a 100% free boost to their franchise when using the promo code Locked On, all in caps, in the game store. That is Locked On, all in caps. So make sure you check it out today. To download the game, just visit ultimate-gm.com or look it up in the app stores. That is ultimate-gm.com, Ultimate Football GM. Start your dynasty today. All right, Landon, let's talk about the first free agent signing the Cowboys made, Chuma Udoga, a offensive lineman who was on the Falcons last year. The Cowboys actually tried to trade for him right before the season started when he was with the Jets. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on the player?
We talked about it a little bit. He's an odd bodied player, right? Yeah. He's kind of leggy, and the thing that keeps blowing my mind is I keep looking back at that report of him when he was coming out of USC, a college, that he was a sprinter, was a 100-meter sprinter at 320-plus mm-hmm. pounds, which is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, you know, he's had kind of an interesting interesting career. He was a third-round pick for the Jets. He's played I think he started more than 10 games for them at different points in the mm-hmm. last few years. He's got, like I said, he has an odd body type. He's kind of leggy. He's less than 6'4". I mean, I think he's like 6'3" and some change, but they played him at tackle and he played okay there. So he's kind of a guard tackle swing guy. I would say that just based on limited, and I haven't seen a ton of him on limited reps, that he to me looks more like a guard who can play tackle than a swing guy. He can move a little bit, obviously, with the 100-meter thing. You can see that in his game a little bit. I'd like for him to be a little bit more physical at times. There's times when I feel like he gets the target, and he can be a little bit of a waistbender. He can get a little bit over a little bit out over his feet at times. But I think that there's some tools there. He clearly has some experience. It takes a special kind of athlete at 6'3" to play offensive tackle, and he clearly has that kind of athleticism. There's some the name I keeps coming back in my brain is like a cheap Isaiah Wynn, right? Sure. He's not quite the elite guard you want him to be. He may feel more comfortable at tackle, but his body doesn't quite physically line up with what you want at offensive tackle. So he's a little bit of a tweener. Like I would compare him a little bit to, well, I mean, like let's take a Brian Breesy or Tommy yesterday we talked, right? Where he has this weird body style that kind of is in between the inside and the outside on the line, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that he has some kind of unique athleticism that allows him to kind of go back and forth. But he seems to be kind of a jack of all trades, master of none sort of offensive lineman.
He reminds me of a guy that the Steelers had a couple of years ago and the Browns currently have right now, Chris Hubbard, who started his career off as a tackle, 6'3", 295 pounds, but tackle, moves inside the guard. Now he's like the swing tackle for the Browns, plays a bunch of snaps, but never really your starter. But that guy's valuable. And if Udoga can develop into that, it's a great signing. I was able to watch his tape back in August as we kind of heard rumors that the Cowboys were interested. The pass blocking stuff is a mess. I mean, he just
doesn't trust himself, right? Like, and that's why it feels like he's constantly like trying to get his hands on the defender first, because he doesn't trust his technique in pass pro.
Well, I'll give you the numbers. Now, I promise there's a positive that I'm going to say out of this. These are numbers from PFF over the last 4 years when he's played. Pass block grade, zero percentile. Pass block grade on true pass sets, first percentile. Pass block grade with no play action, first percentile. Pass block grade on 7-step concepts, first percentile.
That's not good.
That's
not good. Yeah.
But here's the positive. He's a really good run blocker. His run block grade on zone runs, 98th percentile. Run block grade on gap runs, 99th percentile. I just wonder if the Cowboys see him as a guard that could potentially get out in space and move and get to the second level. Why not take a chance on his athleticism there?
And I, you know, honestly, the thing that you and I mentioned is, I don't know if this is something that still will exist in this version of the playbook, but I feel like with that athleticism and his body type, he could really do that McGovern kind of fullback role really well, potentially.
Well, and remember at the end of the year, they were using Avante Collins in that role, and he's just a better athlete than Collins is.
Yeah. So I wonder if that's a feature that will continue in the McCarthy playbook. And if so, I definitely feel like this player is a guy that they could avail themselves there.
I do know that the Falcons fans were upset that he didn't come back because he had to start a couple games at guard last year. And he played really well. And then he got hurt, which has kind of always been a little bit of a knock on him.
Yeah, but that's the other thing, right?
If he can stay healthy, he's probably competing. He's not going to be the swing interior guy because I think that's going to belong to Matt Farniak, but could he be that second interior guy? I could see it.
Yeah, and then, you know, the other thing too is this, I guess there's also the chance that the Cowboys draft a guy and high in the top three rounds that's a guard or a center or a swing guy. So there could be a nice little competition there between Farniak, him, and whoever the draft pick is. So it is similar, I think, to what we were talked about with Ronald Jones, except I feel like there's probably a higher chance that he sticks onto the team after training.
100% agree. I think there's a very good chance Udoga does make this roster.
Yeah, absolutely. They were interested last year. So
they were interested last year. Yeah, and they're just in a better spot at tackle now than they were a year ago. And now, you know, maybe with Connor McGovern leaving, there is an open guard spot in this roster, and Udoga could potentially fill it. That is it for today's show. Thank you guys for tuning in, and thank you for making Locked On Cowboys your first listen every day. Now make your second listen, the Locked On NFL Scouting Show with the Draft Dudes. From free agency to the draft, salary cap management, and more, join NFL experts Kyle Krabs and Joe Marino as they take you through what it's like to build a successful NFL franchise every Monday through Friday. Find Locked On NFL Scouting with the Draft Dudes wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Check out the Locked On Cowboys podcast on YouTube as well. You can follow Landon on Twitter at McCoolBCB. I'm at Marcus_Mosier, and we'll see you guys next time.